following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
I told you. I told your chump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
You're
wrong way.
You're going the wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom.
I'm sitting there. I'm with my loved ones. I'm watching the game. And the whole time, everybody's like, wow, look at Tony Romo, sensational. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, he can't miss. And I was like, relax. Give it time. It'll happen. These are the Cowboys we're talking about here. Trust me, I know they have the skills. There's never been a question about it. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. You can explain it away until the cows come home. I don't need to pontificate about this. I don't need to go off about this. I don't need to sit there and do anything. All I need to do is remind you. I told you so. I told you when it comes to the Cowboys, just sit back and chill. Just sit back and chill. They will find a way to mess it up. And when Romo threw the interception to Trevathan, I just cracked up. I mean, I was dying laughing. I was laughing hysterically that to me to do it now would just, you know what, that's just engaging in hyperbole. No need to do it. Because I did it enough yesterday. I almost called you, Skip. And you know I never call you. I never call you on a Sunday. But I almost called you and said, did I not tell you? But instead, I just tweeted it out there. Tony, oh no.
Tony, you said oh no. Accident waiting to happen. And you had a million retweets.
That too.
Oh, well, I'm glad Stephen A. is enjoying it so damn much.
He almost called Skip, but he had to go to his sister Margaret's house to console her. She is a big Cowboys fan.
Oh, God.
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you what. I was shocked they put that many points up on the board. I was shocked. You know, when I got I got home and it was 14 to 7, but the Cowboys went right down and scored, and then went right down and scored again.
Right.
And then I took a shower, and when I got a shower, it was 28-14. I said, oh, well, there it goes. I figured that was it. Broncos are going to run away with it, but got to give credit to your team, and I will admit I am shaking in my shoes this week for the Redskins. Oh, God.
Well, you can give credit to the offense. I mean, it would have been nice if the defense could have made the Broncos punt, you know?
That's true. The punter got dressed and had to rub some dirt on him so his mom would think he played.
It was all Tony Romo's fault. Tony, oh, no, as Stephen A. is now calling him.
Tony, oh no.
Tony,
you know what,
oh
though?
No.
Romo does it in the guise of trying to win the game.
Yeah.
So he's trying to win the game.
Yeah. Okay, well, hold on. We'll get to more of that. I'm Tom. He's John. And Tilliard is no longer grounded, so here he is.
What's up, guys? It's John Tilliard here, and you are listening to Bang Radio Hour number 229. And I know I'm not really in much of a position to brag, considering my team is 0-4 right now, but who won this week? Not the Falcons. Oh, God, no. That was lame. Sorry, I just can't get my voice up that high.
Oh, man.
John, that's not you in there making fun of the Falcons, is it?
Oh, I'm glad he's back.
Hell yeah, man. He wrote a song about Josh Freeman. I swear to God, Tilliard, you have got to record this. You have got to record it. Just record your voice singing over whatever you want, and we can mix you into the music.
Yes, just sing it dry.
Oh, God, dude. Because it'll work no matter where he plays. It'll work in Minnesota, too. So please, please, please send it to us.
But yeah, I think we can safely say which one of John's picks is going to the Super Bowl? Yeah.
That was a good game last night, man. I thought that was going to be a dog of a game. I wasn't even planning on staying up and watching it, but I couldn't turn it off.
Well, no, you had to wait till that very last catch by Julio in order to beat my wife in fantasy football.
I know. The very last catch, and then he's out for the season. What the hell happened there? What?
I know.
My fantasy team, I had one glimmer of hope. I won a game. I'm right back in the race there in that division, and then, boop, my number one receiver goes down.
Alfred Morris is hurt. Now Julio's out for the year. Hell, your other running back has twice as many backflips as he has touchdowns.
That's right, but you know what? Even though I wasted my first-round pick on that piece of crap freaking subhuman giant, at least the one time that I did play him, he scored.
Yeah. So well, that's true.
I'll be happy with that.
That's true. Let's see here. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jerry Jones. We haven't talked to Jerry all year. We thought, hey, good. This is a perfect week, and we have a lot to talk to Jerry about. We'll get to that. Where good. Is Larry Johnson? You remember the former Chiefs running back? We're going to tell you. You won't believe this. The leader of the free world is commenting on John's team's name. And some folks, John, just don't think women in football mix very well. And I can't wait to get into that topic because this is being way, way blown out of proportion to what it's really all about. And we're going to get into that. And I can't wait to talk about that. But first, let's get back to Stephen A. Because, you know, he's celebrating. He loved what happened. He's a Giants fan, hates the Cowboys. And of course, Skip's a Cowboys fan. He loves the Cowboys. But here, Stephen A. is going to compliment Romo and then change things.
Tony Romo outplayed the best quarterback in football right now in Peyton Manning. Uh-huh. Okay, outplayed him for 58 minutes. He was spectacular for 58 minutes. He was sensational for 58 minutes. But the last 2 minutes, it was the Cowboys. Not all on Tony Romo, of course. Not all his fault. But I told you, just give it time. They'll mess it up. And that's what they did. Go ahead, Skip. I'm sorry, man.
That might be the fakest laugh I've ever seen on TV.
It's not fake at all. Skip, if you know anything about me and the Cowboys, I laugh all the time.
Okay.
Man, he's cracking up.
Yeah, he's cracking up. You know, I'll tell you what, man. I don't disagree with a damn thing he said. I didn't think the Cowboys had that game in them. I think everybody wrote them off this week. And, you know, when you look on some of the games that we're playing, some of the pick'em things that they're playing, they'll show percentages of how many people pick what. Something like maybe 8% of the people pick the Cowboys to win. And, you know, that's just Dwayne and Skeeter and those kinds, you know.
I was not one of them. I took Denver. I'm a realist. You know, I didn't expect Dallas to win that game.
Well, they didn't, so ha ha ha, we were all right.
Skip took Dallas, and he was that close.
Ah, man, I'll tell you what, you know, Peyton Manning running around the end for a touchdown, that had to drive you nuts for about 4 minutes.
Oh, my God, he fooled the entire planet. The entire planet didn't see that one coming.
Dude, I think that half the entire planet might have gotten over there to get him. I was like, come on, hurry it up. Come on, hurry. Come on. I got to piss. Get in there. Come on. All right. Hurry it up, I gotta pee.
Stephen A. always says it, they're an accident waiting to happen. That's what
saw.
That's
Tony Romo's collarbone.
You wish.
Oh, I can only hope. Yeah. You're right. I do wish. Look, last week we wrote off the Cowboys because they didn't think they could do it, so maybe this week everybody will write off the Reds because they don't think they can do it. But we put together the awesome game plan here in the bye week, and we suddenly learned how to fucking tackle and chase a wide receiver.
Yeah, right. Okay, one more clip from Stephen A. here, and he's going to talk about the accident waiting to happen.
The third consecutive year, they started with this 2-3 record, right?
Thank you.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
I think so, right?
That's correct.
Let me tell you something, Skip. You know, you're seeing the light. I'm very proud of you. Stop it. You sat up there every time. You know what you are? You know what you are? You're like me, Skip. You get, you know, in certain moments, you know, you forget what common sense tell you. You're right. You saw the light last year. And then it didn't stop you from starting the preseason, just gloating about them the way that you did. You can't help it because you get caught up in it.
You couldn't help
you
it
get
either.
Don't give me you two. I'm talking about you.
You too.
I'm talking about
you. Too I'm talking about
you. Stay with me. You
are bloviating
about
it.
I'm talking about you. This is what you do. This is what you do when it comes to the Cowboys. You can't help yourself because you want to love them and you do love them, but you don't want to accept the fact that they're going to break
your heart. This is what they do. And Merrill Hodge was just on SportsCenter earlier today, and he was pointing out how Tony Romo tripped over his offensive lineman's foot. These kind of things happen. So it's not all on Tony Romo. It's something that happens. It's the Cowboys. Obviously, tripping over him is an accident. It's waiting to happen because it's the Cowboys.
God.
Get your foot off of my foot, you idiot. I'm going to throw an interception.
Killing me. Killing me.
You know what? He speaks for a lot of us. He does, because all of you motherfuckers, man, you're always on their jock no matter
what. Oh, my God. You know, I don't even want to hear it from you. You know, I really don't, because every year at the beginning of the year, I hear the same exact sentence.
What do you mean?
Watch out for the Redskins. I'm just warning you. Look out for the Redskins. I hear it.
That's right.
Every single year.
That's because every year we have some new awesome free agent that's going to turn everything around right. For the last 10 years. Didn't you know that?
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I will say this. If I don't know if this gives you any hope, but
I have hope.
Last year, you were 3-6 at one point.
Oh, I know. But this isn't the same team as last year.
No.
This team can't tackle anybody. The thing that I took away from this Cowboys-Denver Broncos game the other day wasn't Tony Romo. It was seeing Dez Bryant carve that team up like they weren't even there. I was seeing my defense not even in the picture. I mean, dude, he got that one. I was like a 72-yard pass. He got it down to the 9-yard line or something like that, where he just split the middle, crossing route, like a little short post, and then boom, gone.
He's a beast.
And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, dude, this is the Broncos. They're not even close to him. My team's not even going to be in the stadium. They're going to be like on the sidelines. What? Oh, we're supposed to be out there? Oh, shit. You know, and they're going to be chasing after his ass.
This is what I'm going to say, because that's all I've heard for the yesterday and today is, see, Tony Romo, you need a new quarterback, got to get rid of Tony Romo. And I'm like, okay.
Trade for Eli Manning.
All right. First off, and I love the people that give me this. You know, you need somebody like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees. And I'm like, well, who doesn't? Right, yeah. Who doesn't want somebody like that? Are you serious? Peyton Mannings don't grow on trees. Neither do franchise quarterbacks. So here's my thing. Find me a better quarterback that we can have. You know, better than Tony Romo. You need to tell me who it is.
You can get him.
I want to know. How do we acquire this quarterback and get rid of Tony Romo? Because as far as I'm concerned, right now, we cannot get another quarterback. And don't tell me about drafting somebody, because you don't know what's going to happen with that. We don't have the ability to go out and get somebody that you can tell me is going to give us a better chance to win games than Tony Romo. And that's the whole key there.
Dude.
You know, and I've heard, you know, just suggest a starter in the league right now. You can't give me Matt Schaub. He's a mess.
Oh, God, that would be great, wouldn't it? Because then when he throws his choking pick like Romo does, it would go back for a touchdown just to ice it.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
You can't even give me Matt Ryan, because the Falcons are 1-4. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. If you go back and look at last year, the Falcons were barely winning games most of the year. You know, it's like Ryan had to throw some 40-yard pass to get them in field goal range so they could kick a field goal and win by point. Saw it all year last year. This guy, he's really great at home. He wins almost all his games at home. Not Monday night. That didn't look so good. He played good. He played really well, actually. But the Jets played better. They played 2 points better. The Jets and their rookie. So, you know, I mean, unless you got into what, Phillip Rivers, what's he ever won? How many playoff games has this guy blown? You know what I mean?
None.
I mean, look, who? Tell me who.
It's a fantasy football world, man, and you know that. Everybody thinks they're a better GM than the GM that's out there, including me, because frankly, I am. But everybody thinks that all you have to do is, like Madden, you can turn around and you can make some stupid offer for a trade, and they'll just let Drew Brees go for, you know, like your slot receiver. Sure, here you go, no problem. That's the way people think. And then they think that, oh, you know what, we could just trade this guy for a couple of draft picks. This year, I have seen more early season trades than I think I've ever seen, and there's only been three.
Right.
There's been like three.
Yeah, right? You know, Jerry Jones and Sean Payton are good friends. Maybe he can call up Sean and say, hey, why don't you do me a favor? Let us have Drew Brees. You know, wouldn't that be great?
Nah,
you know?
Just let me borrow him.
How about playing a little defense? How about, you know,
borrow him for the bye week, right?
I tell you right now, you talk to Sean Lee, you talk to DeMarcus Ware, you talk to Bruce Carter, they'll tell you, we don't want to get rid of Tony Romo. We'd like to stop somebody. You know, we gave up 400 yards passing back-to-back games.
Well, I can't say anything about it because I hate the fucking Cowboys, and it's Cowboys week. The Redskins are coming to town, and I hope we kick the shit out of you. I
understand.
Really do.
Of course.
I mean,
of course.
Nothing personal.
I understand. I completely understand.
You know, if there's one thing that I can't stand, it's watching that little fruit Tony Romo run around and throw it to the other big cowboy homo, his freaking tight end buddy Jason Witten, running down the field prancing around like he's got his freaking ballerina slippers on. Can't stand it. Can't handle it.
Bitter party of one. Your table's ready.
I'm sorry. I just can't handle it. Hey, man, as far as I know, my quarterback that's coming to town this week is, you know, that's his place. That's his town. You know, we get on Cowboys Pavilion this week. You know, our Cowboys fans, we're going to have to get out there this week. They're going to have to get out there and shout down those RG3 people.
All right. Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, all this talk, all the crap, all the points, all the stats, all the everything, it's all over. And at the end of the day, Dallas is 2-3 and it sucks. So that's that. You know, and if you guys win, you're tied. You're tied with Dallas.
I know. And goddamn.
And Michael Vick's hurt already. Big shocker.
Big shocker there. And once again, Eli Manning is just a freaking hangdog, choking-ass loser. And so is Matt Schaub. How funny was that the first pass he threw was a pick six?
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Right.
Everybody.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
All right, let's get back to the Broncos here real quick. They've got the Jaguars coming to town. Oh, my God.
28-point spread. NFL record, 28-point spread.
It is. It's unbelievable. It is the largest in NFL history.
The biggest I can remember was like 15 or something in a Super Bowl. It was like the 49ers against the Broncos. It was something. It was ridiculous. It was way up high. And there was a couple of them when the Rams were playing that were way
actually,
up high.
Actually, this is a tie. This is a tie for the highest in NFL history. There was a 28 spread one time before.
Oh, who?
It was the Baltimore Colts were favored by 28 over the then expansion Atlanta Falcons in 1966.
And who won? Not the Falcons.
No, but they did, but Baltimore did not cover.
Oh, really? Okay, so the Falcons come away with a moral victory.
No. We don't want to talk about moral victories. We'll get to that when we get to Jerry. Because I felt nothing moral going on.
We don't need to hear that. Look, whatever you do in your own house is your
anyway. Own yeah, so they didn't cover, but I think Denver will cover.
Oh, I think so easily. I think they're going to cover in the first half, dude. They're going to cover on their first four possessions.
And I think whoever's
I can't help it.
Right? Yes.
It's going to be.
Yes.
I'm serious. Five possessions, 35-0.
Right.
It would be.
Yeah, Blaine's out. Blaine's out. You know, Blaine's out. Right.
Yeah, Blaine is out.
Yeah, he's out. He did. He pulled his hammy. Or said he heard something pop.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's my hamstring. Yeah,
I think the whoever's running the Denver Broncos Twitter feed, I think they were listening to you last week on the show because you had commented on how many points the Broncos were averaging, and it was more than Jacksonville's total.
Yeah.
Well, the first tweet that comes out of Denver right after they beat the Cowboys was the Broncos 51 points in yesterday's win. Are as many points as the Jaguars have scored all season. Okay, so, you know, they lost.
I don't have a problem with that.
They lost to St. Louis, and then the Jaguars come back and tweet to Denver, stay classy, Denver, okay? Oh. And then it took all of 4 minutes for Denver to tweet back, no shots, just stats.
Hashtag loser. What a loser tweet. Stay classy. Whatever. You're a team that's you're down by 28 points. You're a dog by 28 points. Do something about that. Shahid Khan's on his pillows. I am not going to retweet this to any of my followers.
Who do these fucking Denver Broncos think they are? Don't they know I blow up their fucking stadium? I'll blow it. I'll blow that stadium a mile fucking high.
That Pat Bowlen is a real asshole. I should have never given him that iPhone for Christmas.
That son of a bitch running that goddamn Twitter, that whatever that stupid social media crap is, I'm going to blow them all to pieces.
I should Twitter. We are starting Chad Henney. So suck on my pee.
That's right. They are starting Chad Henne. Some girl might be.
If only Blaine Gabbertman was healthy, then we would show those smarty pants Denver Bronco peoples. We would show you.
We would cover that 28-point spread.
Take that goddamn Mr. Manning Peyton and cut his head off.
That's right.
Put it on the video. Make everybody watch.
He's not a terrorist. He just looks like Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, right.
He really does. If you all don't know what I'm talking about yet, go look up Saeed Khan. Saeed. Go look Saeed Khan up right now on Google, and that's definitely Ron Jeremy with a wig on. And if you don't know who Ron Jeremy is.
Yeah, then I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
After the show, you know.
All right, let's talk about Michael Irvin and Marshall Faulk and the old Eminem podcast here.
My favorite podcast right now, man. Really
can't get
is.
Enough of this. Just cannot get enough of this.
Stoners. It's just a couple of stoners sitting around talking about football.
When I first heard this clip from Marshall Faulk, I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. This whole thing about the cologne, I don't get it.
That's a metaphor, man.
I understand that. For what, though?
It's a metaphor for cologne.
These guys are stoned. All right, so here's how this went.
His pheromones doesn't reek that of the kind of confidence of the man, the caliber of man that's going to take me to where I can go. And I'm saying this as a man who's been in a locker room, and I follow guys and I've led men, so I know what it's like. He doesn't have that. It's because the cologne that he wears is not the kind of cologne that make people turn their head and say, wow, that's my guy.
He's wearing what they call man. He's not wearing the man cologne.
No.
What? What? Michael Irvin does like a Vidal Sassoon commercial or something. He's wearing man.
He's wearing what they call man.
I have followed and led men around the locker room. Let me tell you.
Man.
He does not put out the pheromones that I want.
Man.
Oh, Jesus.
The man cologne. He's got a nice no at the end there. That's a very emphatic no. That's as good as Skip's no.
Right. Let's see. Oh, this is funny as hell. Michael Irvin's talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, well, they were talking about Matt Schaub there before that with the man cologne.
Right. Just so the analogies these guys make, and of course, Michael's going to get all tongue-tied on this analogy. This is hilarious. Listen to him talk about. He's talking about DeAndre Hopkins here,
especially after the game DeAndre Hopkins had against Tennessee, where Andre went out, DeAndre stayed in and won the game for them. And he got off that monogamous relationship with Andre. Matt Schaub did, got into a polygamous relationship with DeAndre. And Andre and I was like, I like this. Okay, I got something going.
That is about as lowbrow as it gets, but that's funny.
A polygamous relationship.
If you pull that out and put it with last week's sound effects, then you have the whole Roadrunner thing. You have the whole thing. Oh, hell, man. I'm telling you what. They do. They just go on the road to wherever their next city is that they're going to do whatever game they're going to do. They sit down in a hotel room. They open up the freaking mini bar. They get loaded, and they smoke dope, and they do this podcast. It's terrific.
Yeah, if you wonder, I mean, if you know whether they're really smoking, all you got to do is listen to this. When Marshall Faulk asked Michael Irvin about who the Cowboys are playing next.
Who about to play the Cowboys?
We already know what's going on.
Who the Cowboys about to play on Sunday? Tell me who they about to play on Sunday. It's a video game. It's a video.
What the hell is that?
I think he's trying to reference how many passes are going to be flying, but holy shit. Irvin. We've all seen this dude. He's the guy that sits on the corner all day.
Oh man.
Look, either they are getting high or one of them smokes cigarettes. And I don't think either one of them smokes cigarettes.
I'll play
man.
You put the choo-choo at the end of it, and it's going to sound like he's been doing gay porn.
Right.
Do that again. Put man in the middle.
I'll put man.
Oh, the images that we can conjure.
Right. Right.
They're disgusting.
Man.
Meep, meep.
Jesus.
We're getting insights into his and Troy's special relationship.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Oh. Oh, yes. Let's see. So we got these, what is it, eight Indians up in Buffalo, right?
Right, the eight Indians up in Buffalo.
That want you to change your football team's name.
Well, there's a few more of them. It's a group of seven that have been trying to do it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now the Oneida tribe in central New York has jumped on board now that it's, I guess, you know, hip to do so. So they've jumped on board, and they had a big press conference that we're going to try to meet because the NFL meetings are going on right now in D.C., mm-hmm. So
how many people were there?
Oh, I don't know. It, you know, they say it was standing room only, but they booked the wrong hotel.
What?
There's two Ritz. This is true. There's two Ritz-Carltons in D.C., and the NFL meetings were at the other one. They got it wrong.
Oh, my God.
They were at the wrong one. So everybody that was there was non-native journalists who were going to report on the story.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it was standing room only. But they don't say that the standing room beside me was the other cameraman. That's who was standing there.
Jeez.
I swear to God. You could just see him.
How? What do you mean, how? There's two Ritz-Carltons in Land of Much Bullshit. We pick them wrong one.
The chief's son stoned all him time to send smoke signals.
Hey, did you know American Indians invented popcorn?
Really?
Yeah, I did not know that. Till just the other day I found that out.
I guess if you light you light maize or whatever they
right?
call it, you light the field on fire, you're going to see it happen.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
So on First Take on ESPN2, and I'm not going to play any of the audio from them talking about it. I'll just tell you. They took a poll, and they also played the clip. President Obama was asked if he thought that Washington, you know, and Daniel Snyder should change the Redskins' name to something else. This is what he had to say.
I've got to say, if I were the owner of the team, and I knew that there was a name of my team, even if you know, it had a storied history that was offending a sizable group of people, I'd think about changing it. But, I don't want to detract from the wonderful Redskins fans that are here. They love their team, and rightly so. Native Americans feel pretty strongly about it. And I don't know whether our attachment to a particular name should override the real legitimate concerns that people have about these things.
Right. He kind of was a little flip-floppy there.
I almost caught my ball straddling the fence there.
Right.
You know what? Whatever. The thing that bothered me the most about that whole damn thing was all the people that went apeshit because he bothered to answer that question.
He's got to be thinking about everything I think he should be thinking about all the time.
What was that clip? About 22 seconds?
Right.
Oh, no. He spent 22 seconds thinking about something somebody asked him that wasn't what you thought they should ask.
Well, yeah. Well, tell the reporters to ask questions only about the shutdown then. You know, I mean, he answered a question he was asked.
Look, in Russia, that reporter would find himself sitting in a car that's loaded with uranium and he will die a slow cancerous death. And it works for Putin. So maybe we should try that here. Keep these people happy.
You know, he's got to be really careful, too, because he's working in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Because you know how people, they'll just jump him. When he's walking to his car, they'll just mug his ass.
Well, no, I just mean the Redskins fans. All the Redskins fans there. He's got, you know, I'm sure that the Congress is full of Redskins fans. Or people working in Washington anyway.
I do not want any of them anywhere near anything I love.
I understand. I understand.
Stay the no.
So anyway, they took a poll on First Take throughout the show, and it came back in over 50% of the people said no, do not change the name. you know. But guess who the most outraged person was? The white guy. Skip Bayless was the most outraged person by the results of the poll and the fact that this name hasn't been changed yet and how racist it is. And I'm like, oh, look at the little outraged white man again. Oh, my God. Whatever. He's so offended.
Here, I'll tell you what. Give me 5 seconds, and I will read you a quote from Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is the shadow representative of the District of Columbia, which means she's a congressperson with absolutely no fucking voting power whatsoever. So she just sits there and yaps away all the time. So give me 1 second, and I will dig it up.
Yeah, Skip could not believe it had gone on this long. And I'm thinking, well, if they make the Redskins change their name, then don't the Atlanta Braves have to change their name? The Cleveland Indians have to change their names. What about the Chicago Blackhawks? Is that an Indian name?
They absolutely will have to change their name. Look, this woman, Black Horse, her name is Black Horse. She stood. I wish I recorded this. I wish I had. She stood on the courthouse steps here when they went in there to talk about the trademark issue right now, and she said, "As long as one person is offended, that is enough in this country to effect change." So get ready, people, because that's what she thinks. And if you give her 1 inch, this is the kind of person that'll take 1,000 miles. Okay? Pick a color. Go get your Crayola box out, because that's who your team is going to be. I'll be rooting for the Washington Seafoams, Tom. You might be rooting for the Washington Lavenders, or the Dallas Lavenders. D.C. Eleanor Holmes Norton said that the survey that was taken before, the only survey that's been taken that shows that 90% of Native Americans favor it, is totally irrelevant and suggested that Native Americans have only recently become aware of its offensive nature. This is what she said. This is a congressperson with no power. Those poor savages, Tom, they have no idea. We are going to fucking civilize them until they are as perfect as we are.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Help me. Yeah.
You know, if enough people, and I don't even know what the number is, but if enough of the natives who are supposed to be offended say, you know what, yeah, that really is offensive, then fine, change it. I'm not about offending people. But if we have a person who's deciding that if one person, because, yeah, Braves, all of that's off the table with this girl. She won't stop.
I would love to see all the obese people in the country all band together and get the word fat banned. Can't say fat. Can't say fat anymore. The word fat is offensive.
How about we ban obesity? How about we do that? How about we ban obese people who have to fucking drive around in the goddamn grocery stores on carts now? There are more freaking... Every day you go to a grocery store,
John, being offensive. Stop that.
I'm sorry. It's my
fault. Stop being offensive.
Oh, and I said I'm sorry, too. God damn it. The nappy-headed hoes are going to come get me, Tom.
Oh, wait a minute. We're not allowed to say offensive anymore because that's offensive.
That's right, the O word.
The O word, yeah.
The O word.
John Tillyard let us know that.
You know, and I'm not one of these people that just thinks, I hate politically correct crap. You know, if enough people say, hey, changes. You know, I notice a lot of people don't call them Indians in this debate because they decided way back when that, you know what, we don't like that. As a gigantic group, we don't like that. Not as a small teeny, 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 tiny, tiny, tiny little sliver group says, we don't like that.
We don't like that.
Right.
Right.
Right. We don't like that.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
That's gay.
You tell him, Cartman.
See, now that's the thing, man. Who's going to decide when to... never mind. I don't even want to go down.
I know.
It's a slippery slope, Tom.
All right. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we've got a little clip. I got to play the Bengals announcer screaming your name, Bang.
Oh, hooray. They must have made another big play.
You remember the Bengals announcer, the guy that just keeps saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, now he's going to yell your name. So we'll have that when we return.
Bang Radio. Bang Radio.
I've got just the place for low-cost housing. I have solved this problem. I know where we can build housing for the homeless. Golf courses. Perfect. Golf courses. Just what we need. Plenty of good land in nice neighborhoods. Land that is currently being wasted on a meaningless, mindless activity engaged in primarily by white, well-to-do male businessmen who use the game to get together to make deals to carve this country up a little finer among themselves. I am getting tired. Really getting tired. Of these golfing cocksuckers. in their green pants and their yellow pants and their orange pants and their precious little hats and their cute little golf carts. It is time to reclaim the golf courses from the wealthy and turn them over to the homeless. Golf is an arrogant, elitist game, and it takes up entirely too much room in this country. Too much room in this country. It is an arrogant game on its very design alone. Just the design of the game speaks of arrogance. Think of how big a golf course is. The ball is that fucking big. What do these pin-headed pricks need with all that land? There are over 17,000 golf courses in America. They average from 150 to 200 acres apiece. That's 3 million plus acres. 4,820 square miles. You could build two Rhode Islands and a Delaware for the homeless on the land currently being wasted on this meaningless, mindless, arrogant, elitist, racist, there's another thing. The only blacks you'll find in country clubs are carrying trays. And a boring game. Boring game for boring people. You ever watch golf on television? It's like watching flies fuck. And a mindless game. Mindless. Think of the intellect it must take to draw pleasure from this activity. Hitting a ball with a crooked stick and then walking after it. And then hitting it again. I say, pick it up, asshole. You're lucky you found the fucking thing. Put it in your pocket and go the fuck home. You're a winner. You're a winner. You found it. No. Never happened. No. No chance of that happening. Dorko in the plaid knickers is going to hit it again and walk some more. Let these rich cocksuckers play miniature golf. Let them fuck with a windmill for an hour and a half or so. See if there's really any skill among these people. Now, I know there are some people who play golf who don't consider themselves rich. Fuck them! And shame on them for engaging in an arrogant, elitist pastime. Hey, here's another place we could put some low-cost housing. Cemeteries! There's another idea whose time has passed. Saving all the dead people for one part of town? What the hell kind of a medieval, superstitious, religious bullshit idea is that? Plow these motherfuckers up, plow them into the streams and rivers of America. We need that phosphorus for farming. If we're going to recycle, let's get serious.
VOTech. VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Do you guys like football? I love football. I'm like the biggest football fan, you know. The one thing I don't like are the female reporters on the sidelines. You know what it is? I feel like they have no knowledge or passion for the game, you know? Like, the camera pans on them, they're wearing some sort of Russian fur coat ensemble with like a matching dead cat on their head, you know? And they're, you know, they're reporting, they're like, it's a halftime from Giants Stadium, and the Giants have 40 total offensive yards, which is great, which is not great, not great at all. They're going to need a couple more if they want to pull this game out. Managed to talk to the quarterback before he went into that dark tunnel-looking area, and his major concern, he wasn't getting enough protection in his pocket. Whoa, did I say that right? That sounds scandalous. That's, anyway, that's it for me. Back to you in the booth, Bob. I'm like, what? That's crazy. Like, if I was on the sidelines reporting, I'd get so into it, you know? I'd have black under my eyes. I'd have a helmet on for no apparent reason. I'd pull the quarterback over. I'm like, you're down by 17. Your slant patterns suck. The defense is controlling the line of scrimmage. You've had one first down. And I'd like to know what you're going to do about it, because I'm angry right now. Back to you in the booth, Bob.
Hey, this is Neil from 3 Days Grace, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
You keep coming back to the scene of the crime, but the dead can't speak, and there's nothing left to say anyway. All you left behind.
the shotgun snap. Drops back to the 35. Fires toward the end zone.
Oh, it is
intercepted by Adam Jones. Yeah. He's got it at the 3-yard line. Coffin nails.
Bang! Bang! Tom Brady, the ball came out of his hand terribly. He could not control the wet pig. Ball game over. Tom Brady's consecutive game touchdown pass streak ends with an interception.
He couldn't control the wet pig? He really said they couldn't control the wet pig.
Ah, dang, we're broadcasting into Kentucky now, don't we? We can't control the wet pig out there, that old Tom Brady. He's one of them goddamn city slickers up there in Boston, ain't he?
Oh! Bang! Bang! Bang!
Oh, my God, he's yelling your name.
Everybody should yell my name.
That's like Jim Lampley.
Bang! 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 Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Here I come! Bang!
Woo! It's getting around, Tom.
And you, pretty chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. We love you. And then, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. What we'll do, near, far, in a motor car, oh, what a happy time we'll spend. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Our fine four fender friend.
Oh, man, I remember that. Jim Lampley.
I'm going to have to update our music library on bang songs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Try and stop it. Bang!
Bang!
Here I come. Bang!
Hey, man, you know what? For everybody that's out there that goes to the games, man, make a bang sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Make a freaking bang sign.
Make songs. Make signs. Make anything.
God damn it. Do our freaking show for us, damn it. We're fucking busy.
Yeah, I'm sick. I got a cold. You know? Come on.
You can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like crap. Thank God I'm not anywhere sharing the Mike St. Michael.
Oh, my God. I just want somebody to cut my head off. I call the owner of the Jaguars.
Let me bring my big curved sword. I'm going to use it on Coach Gus here at the end of the year. Coach Gus of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's going to be who we're having to interview one of these days. I'm not sure what's going on out there. Blaine seems to be hurt again.
I hear the shocker heard round the world. Tom Brady didn't throw a touchdown in that game, John. Oh, my God. The world is going to end.
No kidding. Dude, I don't want to hear it, man. I sat T.Y. Hilton because, hey, Danny Amendola's back. They're playing the Seahawks. T.Y. Hilton ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to put in Danny Amendola. Oh, what a dumbass I was.
Well, you won anyway.
Thankfully,
you won anyway, yeah.
I won both games.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so great running back in the day for the Chiefs, guy by the name of Larry Johnson. Y'all remember Larry Johnson? Didn't he go to Cleveland at the end? Isn't that where he went?
No, he was with Washington at the end. He was with us for one preseason. Didn't he start in Baltimore?
Was he ever in Cleveland? No, I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know why I'm thinking.
He started in Baltimore, then he went to Houston.
Okay.
Or no, Kansas City. He went to Kansas
right.
City. What the hell? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he was great in Kansas City. Well, if you're ever wondering what he's up to these days, wonder no more. He is a guest DJ.
A guest DJ. A guest.
Not on the radio. He is a guest DJ at Tootsie's Cabaret.
Tootsie's Cabaret! Hey, this here DJ used to run a lot, and I'll be autographing footballs while you get your lap dance for the next 15 minutes!
Yeah, this is a Miami strip club, and very popular with pro athletes, actually.
I'm sure it is, man. Miami strip club is, it doesn't matter what the hell's going on in there. As long as you say those three words, Miami strip club, you're going to find NFL athletes in there.
Well, Larry Johnson lives in North Bay Village, Florida, which is just a few miles north of the club. Now, Tootsie's, John, this is the same club where Aaron Hernandez hung out the night that he's accused of shooting Alex Bradley in the face.
Maybe Larry Johnson had something to do with it.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I could. I could probably imagine a whole lot of bad things, but I wouldn't want to say them because his lawyer might come and get me. Any former NFL players in the house?
Larry Johnson, he has not always been the most well-behaved guy in the clubs or human being, just well-behaved human being at all. He was arrested. He was 9 years in the NFL, got arrested several times. 2003, he was charged with aggravated assault and misdemeanor battery after brandishing a gun while arguing with some girl. He got sent to a domestic violence diversion for that one.
I said the bitch didn't have my money. What the hell was I supposed to do? That ain't violence. That's just getting my money. I guarantee you he's running whores in his freaking strip club now.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. In 2008, he got in trouble in Kansas City. In one case, 26-year-old woman accused him of pushing her in the side of the head at the Grand Emporium, saying, "Don't touch me," as he walked through the club. Later that year, in another club, a 24-year-old woman accused him of spitting a drink at her, threatening to kill her boyfriend. In March of 2009, he was given 2 years probation after he pleaded guilty to disturbing the peace. All of this seems pretty minor, actually, when you think about it, other than the battery and assault and showing a gun.
Oh, well, the showing the gun, yeah, but the woman in the side of the head's just a stiff arm.
Yeah. Spitting a drink. I mean, come on. Really?
Well, you know, maybe he thought he was on the sideline.
Disturbing the
peace.
She
handed him a drink. That could be anything.
Shit.
I fart sometimes and they call the cops. Put your hands together, get your money out for Laquita!
Oh, now wait. Last year he was arrested in Vegas for allegedly choking an ex-girlfriend at the Bellagio and leaving her unconscious in her underwear in the hallway. He got probation after he's found guilty of misdemeanor, domestic battery, and assault, and he did avoid a felony charge. But he choked her out, and there she was, out cold, in her underwear, laying in a hallway in the Bellagio.
Allegedly. She wasn't. It might not have been her. You ain't got no proof. Seriously, man. Allegedly. You allegedly choked somebody out. The Bellagio has probably got more cameras in it than freaking Hollywood.
So anyway, that's what Larry Johnson's up to these days.
I'm sure it's probably just up his alley. Like I said, I guarantee you he's running whores now. Yo, Shiblita, go over there and say hey to Clinton Portis.
Now, there's something else going on that involves Washington and football. And this has nothing to do with the Redskins, doesn't even have to do with the NFL. This has to do with college football, and some things kind of blew up this week. Because first off, on ESPN, well, let me set the stage here. We will have college playoffs next year, if you haven't heard. There will be college football playoffs, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it satisfies everybody, but it's better than what we have now. We're going to get four teams in a playoff, okay?
I don't sound satisfied. Do I sound satisfied?
No, but it's better than what we have now.
Sort of.
It's a step in the right direction. They can improve it. At least they're willing. Yeah. At least they're finally willing to bend. You know?
So I guess in another 80 years, we'll be able to get an actual playoff right. system instead of this bullshit thing that they're going
to
do now.
Yeah, because now the teams that get to play are picked by people. The college football playoff committee. Okay?
This is the dumbest freaking thing. Dude, I swear to God, it's football. It is not decided by committee. It is decided on the field. It is decided on the field.
Well, not.
It is decided on the
field. Not only is it going to be decided by a committee, but one member of that committee, John, is Condoleezza Rice.
Well, you know, she knows her football, I guess, but I guarantee you she's never played it at any level that they're going to even be involved in.
Well, no, and that's the problem everybody has. First off, David Pollack was on ESPN over the weekend. You know, he's on TV on ESPN talking college football. And this topic came up, and he even said, he knew he was going to say something wrong, but he said it anyway, and here it is.
But now I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth, probably. I want people on this committee, guys, that can watch
tape. Played football.
Yes, that have played football. That are around football, that can tell you different teams on tape, not on paper.
So no woman belongs on the committee because football. Is that what
you said?
Women.
That.
I disagree.
See, and here's the problem. They responded to him by saying, so no woman belongs on the committee. It's not about women. It's about non-players. The proper question is, so nobody who'd never played the game belongs on the committee. And the answer to that is yes. And a woman didn't play the game. So I'm sorry. This is not sexism. This isn't because you're a woman. It's because you never played the game.
But my boyfriend told me which ones I could pick.
Right.
And I like the helmets. And Oregon has a cute quarterback.
If you are going to have a committee on medical procedures, improving medical procedures, would you have somebody on that committee who wasn't a doctor, who had never been in an operating room?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope. No government in my Social Security or my Medicaid. That's right. And I'm telling you what, I like I like USC because they fired that Lane Kiffin, and he's a dick. I went to time. He bought me a drink, and he told me he was going to take me to his hotel room. And he left me out in the middle of nowhere, and he wouldn't even give any goddamn money for a cab. So I'm never going to vote for them. I don't care how good they are, except now because they fired Lane Kiffin. Does my vote count?
It might as well be like that, Tom. It might as well be like that.
I know. Well, I'll make another analogy. If you're going to if you're going to have a committee that's going to discuss building a new state-of-the-art freeway through the middle of your city, are you going to have a doctor or a lawyer on that committee? Of course not. You're going to have professional construction engineers who have done this stuff, experts in the field.
How many of you been in the office pool
that girl, she does? All right, I got 12 right this week. How many did you get?
I got 7. Right?
Oh!
And she picks it because,
I like the Buccaneers' helmets. It looked like a flag.
Right? Is that what you want? Is that what you want up there?
My wife pulled that one on me a couple weeks ago in the pick 'em. She took the Colts going to San Francisco and winning. And I said, what made you do that? And she goes, I like their uniforms better. But see, I know. But she did that. She did that to make a joke because I know my wife knows the game.
Right, and I was sounding very sexist right there, for which I'm not going to apologize anyway because it was fun. But the point being is there shouldn't be a committee in the first place, much less wondering whether there should be women or men on the damn thing. There shouldn't be any goddamn committee. If you really want to do something proactive, streamline everything, get the conferences together to create yourself a league, and then you can play it out on the field.
Well, the latest comment comes from former Auburn coach Pat Dye. You remember Pat Dye, right?
Pat Dye.
Yeah, he said yesterday morning, he said about Condoleezza Rice, he doesn't think she should be on the committee. He said, all she knows about football is what somebody told her, or what she read in a book, or what she saw on television. He said, to understand football, you've got to play with your hand in the dirt. I love Condoleezza Rice, and she's probably a good statesman and all of that, but how in the hell does she know what it's like out there when you can't get your breath and it's 110 degrees and the coach asked you to go some more?
I could see Condoleezza Rice using her statesman experience to like negotiate settlements and shit like that for teams that are just outside the top 20 trying to get them in. Fuck all that. There shouldn't be any committees. So any stupid scenario that you can think of is on the table.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what Pat Dye was really trying to say was this.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. Right. We need more dogs.
Right.
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 No more cats.
All right.
All right. You know, speaking of college football, since we always like to get into college football, I got an email here from our buddy Randy. All right. Randy says, John, sir, and he calls me sir, which is really nice, so... he says, I just wanted to discuss a little further what we were talking about before on how five teams like Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, South Carolina, and Florida all have one loss and still can be ranked higher than teams like Michigan, which happens to be his team.
Well, the Big Ten sucks, don't you know?
Well, not only that, but right now both of us hate you because we hate Michigan. This week is Michigan week for Penn State, so I hope we win. Yes, I know that we have squeaked by. All right, here's the thing, man. You know, everybody in September, I hate the ranking. The fact you can even rank football teams in September in major college football when they all schedule cream puffs is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of teams, these teams that you mentioned specifically, Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, South Carolina, Florida, they have played teams. They have played teams. They don't just squeak by little Mary's mother, you know, house sister, they're poor or whatever. They don't go down and blow out a bunch of freaking two-eyed or three-eyed kids from freaking Florida. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be ranked, when you put your cream puffs on the schedule, blow them out.
Right.
That's how you do it. Other than that, shut up. The ranking system sucks as it is. You want to argue that is a fact and that's why you're stuck where you are? Fine. You know, you're 5-0, whatever. I don't care. 4-0, whatever. I don't care. The ranking system in September, it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Might as well rank me for my ability to crush bugs and their ability to fight back. I can win every time. There you go. Shitting all over Michigan. Fuck Michigan.
All right. It is time. It is time to make the call.
We're making the call. Get the hotline.
Well, hold on. Let me play a couple things here before we do that real quick. First off, I want to play what Jerry Jones said about Romo after the game.
Tony played the best game that I've ever seen him play in his career. Not only from the standpoint of how he executed, not only how he created plays, but his leadership. That was unfortunate that it came down to that at the end, but you can see the very best over on the other side of the ball that can happen to them too. But he played the best game that he's ever played for us.
For 58 minutes, like Stephen A. Smith said. Yeah, and then Jerry went on to say this was a moral victory, and you know, I don't know. I guess if this is a moral victory, you know, okay, Jerry.
There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a moral victory. If you're telling yourselves you got a moral victory, that just means you lost.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what that means. If you had a moral victory, that means you got an L. Now, the other thing we got to talk to Jerry about, well, we got a few things, but one other thing. Here's a news report about a promotion the Cowboys have going on.
The Dallas Cowboys have announced they're going to continue their partnership with the Texas State Lottery. Yep. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones unveiled the new scratch-off game at a news conference yesterday. Mm. Among the prizes, the chance to hang out with Jones in the Cowboys war room during the NFL draft next year.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Isn't
so you're scratching off instant lottery tickets, and instead of money, Jerry's going to let you hang out with him in the war room during the draft.
You'd be like, oh, shit, I won. God dang it. Get to hang out in the war room. I can't think of much more boring. You know, it's boring enough watching the draft after everybody hypes it for so long and watching Chris Berman for 12 hours. Well, you know, I haven't peed in like 2.5 hours. I'm kind of squeaking around here.
Can you imagine? You got the scratch off. You got to scratch off 3 touchdowns to win. You scratch off the first one. There's a touchdown. You scratch off another one. There's a touchdown. You scratch off the third one. And there's a. Yeah.
Seems the cause of this accident was he was scratching tickets while he was driving down the road. Ran over the center line there.
All right, so we're going to talk about all this with Jerry. We're going to talk about the Redskins name, about Condi Rice. Yeah, we're going to get into all this. So let's call Jerry, get him on the phone. Haven't talked to him all year. It's been a while. I've been looking forward to this call.
Hello?
Jerry Jones, it's John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. Haven't talked to you all year. How you doing?
Well, howdy, fellas. It has been a while, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. It's nice to hear from you, boys. It's just nice to hear from you, boys. I'm telling you what, it's been a hard week around here.
I'm sure, you know. I mean, you had a chance to win Sunday, you know. Tony threw the interception there at the end. Stephen A. Smith. That damn Stephen A. Smith, Jerry, just calls you guys an accident waiting to happen. Where are you emotionally right now?
Emotionally? Emotionally? What the hell is this? This is a goddamn view? I mean, goddamn, Tom, it's always like this. At first, I was mad.
You know what I mean. How are you feeling?
Well, the same way as always. At first, I was mad. I mean, I was plumb pissed off. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. I was danged upset. But then after a few scotch and NyQuils, you know, everything evens right on out.
Counted some of your money. Probably felt okay.
Well, you know, when I sleep on the mattress that I got is... dang, you hear that jet plane? You hear that jet plane?
I did. I heard it.
Went too close to my goddamn helicopter. That boy's got to move over.
Well, you called this a moral victory right after the game. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah. You know, we done great for our dang morality. I mean, I didn't strangle nobody. And, well, you know, we did score 48 points, right?
Yes.
Did we? We did. And we lost. Oh, goddamn. Yes. Isn't there something else we could talk about?
Well, yeah, all right. Yeah, it's over. It's done. You're going to beat the hell out of the Redskins this week, so let's move on here.
Piss me off. That'd be fun.
Tell us about this lottery promotion, this instant lottery.
I'd be glad to. That's right, Tommy. I'll tell you what, the Cowboys is partnering up with the Texas State Lottery, mm-hmm. And, of course, any other state that wants a piece of the America's Team pie, as I like to call it. And anyways, we're going to be offering a scratch-off game based on everybody's favorite Got Zone America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys. And you know how I always say it, Tom, in business, if you want to make gobs of money, you got to mind them three H's.
The three H's?
That's right. H. Hispanics, hood rats, and hillbillies. Nobody throws away money better than them three H's. I tell you what, they will line up around the block to buy Dallas Cowboys scratch-off, Tom.
Oh, Jerry, sounds like you're taking advantage.
That's what business is all about, Tom. That's capitalism, ain't it? Hey, I'll tell you what, it's going to be just like a real, honest, to by God, Dallas Cowboys game day experience.
That is right. You are right about
that. That's well. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it'll be just like going to the football game. That'd be right there. It'd be just like scratching off, you know, there's a first down to Witten. And, oh, look, there's a first down to Des Bryant. And the game's almost over. There's DeMarco Murray with a big run. And, oh, the Tony Romo interception button comes up and you lose.
Oh,
look, you know what's great? Just like the Cowboys. This scratch-off always keeps coming back again. So go ahead and invest another $5, because you never know. You might get the one with the grand prize in it, and you get to come hang out with me and all the boys in the Dallas Cowboys war room during next draft. I tell you what, we'll get you a folding chair there, and you can watch us look at the draft board and point at it and things like that, and you can listen to us talk about the guys, and you can go down the vending machine and get me some pretzels if I need some. And then when the magic moment arrives, you'll get to watch me put my teeth in and make the phone call that's going to make some lucky young man a by God Dallas Cowboy.
You know, Jerry, I would enjoy that.
I'll tell you what, how's this for accuracy, Tom? No more winning tickets after January 1st.
Oh, Jerry.
Hey, they forced me. I couldn't help it.
Uh-huh.
They told me I had to.
All right. So what do you hate? What about Dan Snyder? Should he change the team's name, the Redskins, because of these offended Indians? What do you think?
Hell no. Hell no. Look, first off, let me tell you something. Dan Snyder's a goddamn Jew, and those people have had it rough, so he can do whatever he goddamn well wants to the Indians, all right, for one thing. And I don't want him to change it. I mean, goddamn it, Tom. You make the Redskins change, and then it's all downhill from there. I mean, what if gay people decided they didn't want us to be called Cowboys no more? You ever think of that? Probably not, but that's why I'm here.
Oh.
Right. That's the whole ticket.
Oh. Okay.
So, no, I'm not for it.
All right, finally, Jerry, this has become a big deal this week. The the College Football Playoff Committee, Condoleezza Rice is a member of that committee. She gets to decide who the four teams help decide who the four teams are. They're going to play in the first ever college football playoffs. And we just wondered what you thought about Condi Rice being on that committee and just women in general having a say, or who people who don't play the game.
Well, I'll tell you something, Tom. Condi Rice, I really like her. I like her politics. She's about the only darky woman I'd ever think about voting for.
The only what?
Oh, she's a fine lady, fine upstanding American.
Right?
I'll tell you what, did you happen to notice something, though, Tom? I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. In the Denver game, they kept showing me up in my luxury box. You see that on TV? You see me up there cheering and everything, hollering. And you see, they showed my wife, Jean, over there in her own luxury box. You see her over there all by herself?
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah. Yeah, you get the picture? See, my wife, she hangs the paintings, and she puts the sculptures in the stadium, and she sits over there with her powder room and has her goddamn little tea and crumpets. And
whatever.
But the football team is up to me, and that's the way we like it around here. The Swinging Dicks control the football. You follow me there?
I do. I get it.
All right, well, thank you very much for calling, Tom. I got other calls I got to make, but hey, before I forget, don't forget your three H's, and coming soon to a supermarket near you, 40-ounce collector's bottles of Dallas Cowboys malt liquor. Collect them all and trade them with your friends. Hey, they got pictures of all your favorite Dallas Cowboys on the label there, Tom. And while you're there, be sure and pick up a 4-pack of Star Child, that new fortified wine inspired by the beautiful Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
That's great, Jerry. That's awesome. Do me a favor. Beat the Redskins this week, please.
Hey, not only that, but we're going to try and get the drinking age lowered so your kids can have some of this fine malt liquor, too.
Oh, for God's sake. All right, Jerry. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Go Cowboys.
And there he goes, John.
I'll tell you what, it's been a while since we talked to old Jerry. He seems a bit more mellow.
Oh, are you kidding? I don't think he's changed one bit. He's all about that dollar.
Of course he is. Of course he is. But why didn't he turn his stadium 90 degrees? Just turn it 90 degrees. Because now when you open the door, the window comes in those late afternoon games, the sun is right in the freaking defensive back or the quarterback's eye, depending on which side of the field you're on.
Damn, I wanted to ask him about that. I think that's a strategy there.
God dang it, we built it the wrong way. Shit.
All right, you got any Facebook posts or anything?
Yeah, that's what I've got here, some Facebook posts. People wanted to ask things. Rick Laub wants to ask Matt Flynn how to get rich with no talent. Look, man, don't be saying anything right now, Rick. I'll tell you, he's out there. He's out there. And if you say his name three times close to Halloween, he might end up on your team.
Right.
All right. He might be your cat problem, all right? Because he's got an agent that knows how to get that money for nothing. So watch it careful. Joe Sturr wants to know what team Billy is with this year.
We haven't heard from Billy.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about where Billy going in this year. Billy's in with Atlanta. I like that Mike Smith. Ooh, boy. Watch him play the Jets.
Jets. Yeah, he's with the Jets helping Rex Ryan. Can you see that? What a combination.
Tell you what, man, their defense does get after it. I do like that.
They do, man. And they got a great offensive line, too.
All right, Trevor Selby wants to ask Matt Millen how the Jaguars compare to his legendary 2008 Lions team. Do they think they can go? Does he think they can go all the way?
hey, you know, I tell you what, we already got it set up so that if they win their first game, me and the guys are going to get together, we're going to pop the champagne, you know, have ourselves a little like Miami Dolphins tradition there. So, yeah. Well, we're really rooting for them, though. We like that Blaine Gabbert, and we hope that they go ahead and take our record.
Boy, a lot of people are asking Matt Millen stuff. Matt Millen's got a Football Life special on about him tonight, and everybody loves the fact that he's wearing overalls in it.
Oh, is he really?
He looks like Homer Formby, the guy that used to refinish furniture on PBS on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you gotta. First thing you gotta do is you gotta strip off all the wax. That's what you gotta do. So do that there, and while you're doing that, you think about the blitz packages that was put in this week.
You know, everybody gives Matt Millen a hard time, but other than the Lions, he was pretty successful. James Huber wants to know, is the curse of Steven Jackson for real? Could be.
The curse of Steven Jackson?
The curse of Steven Jackson. The Cleveland curse is real. Oh, my God. That is real. The gods looked down and said, a quarterback in Cleveland? Not on your life!
I know, right?
Jimmy Greer says that Roger Goodell is ruining the game for everybody, but has he ruined Inglorious Bastards for anybody else? Every time Hans Landa gets screen time, I see Gestapo Goodell, and all I hear is my John Taman's Nazi voice speaking lawyerese about how to ruin the game. No, it hasn't ruined that movie for me, but that's a pretty good one right there. Chip Underwood wanted to know how come he hasn't been hearing my ice clinking glass.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard it either.
Yeah, I know. So I was clinking ice all night tonight. And I think that's all we got right now because we're just about out of time. We got to keep it to an hour because, you know, we got obligations and whatnot.
All right. Well, be watching in Denver because we're going to get Henny. So, some go my dear. Let's see if Denver can put up 50 again.
Just because he wants me to say his name again, El Damaro Narvaez wants to know if I'm going pumpkin picking. No, I'm not going pumpkin picking.
All right. Make sure to check out our Facebook page. Sorry, you know, if this wasn't the best, I'm so out of it. I'm so full of medication.
No shit. The whole first segment, Tom's just blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You're the funny one anyway. So that's all right.
All right. Well, all right. So next week I'll take some NyQuil and join you. We'll have a nice good group. We'll do Gronk all day or Gork all day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Gronkowski's supposed to play this week for the Patriots.
Oh, so. I don't want to freaking hear it. You know, me with my old, let me just put T.Y. Hilton down and put in that Danny Amendola.
All right, we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons.
BangCartoon.com. Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm the mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag. Bang Cartoon Radio.